It's because Elise isn't here. That's why I'm getting lost.
Got in and said it's been shot and they collapsed. They took can see the nearest hospital if they set up a clinic on the spot, and then had to be transferred to Ermelo, which is about 67 kilometers away, and he died at the hospital. There is no information that he was probably able to tell whoever that I've seen so and so. And I want to believe that even less if they were more focusing on his health than on getting such information, but they were depicting that on the way to Amakot, he did gain some consciousness, but again lost it and lost it for forever. Really, unfortunately, they both come from not very well-to-do families, so they are breadwinners in their families. And the unfortunate thing that our colleagues are killed, stuff like that. I'm just informing the members about it. Yes, it is indeed a very sad story. But then let us move to this one issue. This report, we have the report in front or before us, which I think we will go page by page and make corrections or additions. And then of course we'll then have to adopt the report if we do agree with this.
Before we get to the report on the point that was just raised in your opening remarks, I think it is important to share that we as a committee, we sometimes need to reflect on the system and really begin to deal with a particular level. It becomes full of the normal thing that the policeman is short and therefore it's fine, it's normal, it's okay. But I think that because they play such a crucial role in terms of our democracy and freedom, and there's going to be a need that we can just to reflect on it, we can look at the kind of even sentences that some of these staff and things that they get when they got arrested. You know? So it may not be in this meeting today, but I think it's something that we have to take into account when we're discussing this. The second thing that I want to propose here is that maybe we should write a letter of a condolences either to the families and to the station where they were operating from. To show our sympathy and encouragement and support that we must give to the remaining officers who are in the situation. And I think it will be quite appropriate checklist to that. But the issue that I'm proposing is that at some point we'll definitely have to discuss this issue of killing of police.
Members, we have a report before us. We'll start from page 1. Okay, we'll go to page 1. If there is anything that members want to add, on page 1, the report.
Which one? 24.
Full budget and ICD. We don't need this.
Okay.
Is it that you're receiving the report here?
No, we have the report, but what worried us, the Madam Chair, your report looked thicker than us.
So we are on page one. Is there anything that we want to add or comment on?
The second law bullet on my page, can I just find out from the committee? I can't recall whether that was the background that was put in the vote, because it doesn't read well. The effectiveness of integration of the criminal justice system, so I'll improve the effectiveness and integration. But in you speaking, I just want to know if it's a direct quote, then obviously it's fine, but it doesn't read well.
I wanted to give members 10 minutes to read through, but you said you have read the report, and that is why I'm going again. Let me check again. Do members want me to give them 10 minutes just to go through the report or rather to proceed as we are doing?
I think let's proceed, Chairman. So I think the speaker, the angels will speak up, and so on and speak up. They will help us.
Reduced
from 7 to 10 reduced to 4 to 7 to 7 tablets. And we probably start with the fact that they just can't be reduced if you're talking and can fail or announcements for press releases or TV stuff. They just can't be.
But Jefferson, I thought this appears on their state plan. What we questioned, I remember that in the meeting we questioned that.
Treasury yes.
And then we questioned them too, mm-hmm. when the all the generals were there about the reducer fee. But what appears in their state plan is this. Therefore, it's not our comment. It's what they said. It's their fact. It's their first plan which said this. This is why, therefore, at this moment, it has to appear as it appears in their first plan, according to our report. Then we may come up after our comment and then question that.
Yeah, I want to put in what Mr. Mandel was saying, because I think in the committee observations, we need to add that we basically rejected that committee, and that we said it's got to stay with the 7%, which is our right, actually, to do. So I think this is what they say, that in our observations, we rejected.
So we
later included when we did it.
Anything else? That paragraph,
which one?
The only paragraph that is there.
The challenge.
Yes, the challenge, and the sentence that it is an outcome which is directly in line with one of the top 5 priorities for government, which is to fight crime and corruption in the next 5 years and make everyone feel safe and be safe. That's what it says. Feel safe and be safe.
And
that is
chapter 3, in fact page 3.
We are on page 3.
I'm not sure, but you use the word chiefly in the 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraph. First sentence. It shouldn't be mainly the truth.
You see why I said that? What do you say about this, chiefly?
That it should rather be mindy or in general. Or general. The third line of the fourth paragraph.
Mainly.
Also, can somebody explain to me, department's activities towards achieving these priorities would include develop specialized units to fight crime and say apprehending known perpetrators. I thought that's the job of the police. When they know that it's
police.
What
are
you?
The top page. The top 3 dots. If I can do that.
Yeah, the second is apprehending known perpetrators. I thought that's normal. That's the responsibility of the police.
It's also
mm-hmm.
the
job
of the
opposition is being very destructive.
Hmm?
The opposition is being very destructive. I can understand this is a huge thing, because you didn't need to draw attention away around Cairo.
I said somebody explain to me, because that to me is supposed to be
all kidding.
It is just very bizarre to have it as a strategic plan of the police to catch crooks.
Because I mean, the end wasn't, I mean, the order of the
One thing I didn't see here under visible policy, inspector policy, there's nothing. I'm not sure whether it's because there's nothing on the inspector. There's nothing on inspector policy. I read this.
Has it have on the first plan?
There's nothing.
There's nothing.
Page 7. Page 8. Protection and security budget allocation for the program, anything there, because we're moving down now to committee observation.
Mm-hmm.
And can I kindly use my authority as a chairperson, give members 5 minutes to read the observation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think we can continue now. Okay. We therefore are on page 9, comment observation, typical infrastructure. Any comment?
Thank you. if this community cannot be the link, then we need to do something. So that's one thing that we have to do.
Well,
if or express it's the need that
national management cannot abdicate their responsibility in terms of the control of the control and distribution of resources. Because in the end, they have bias. And it's then that send it to the provinces.
Absolutely, but only once we were there and certain people have seen firearms out of the same station, that they started actually stopped taking. So then the coming in was a flurry. And they were checking the firearms and checking the bulletproof vests. Can I just check the English and the next thing? No correlation exists between the number of safety stopped firearms.
That is page 10, page 11.
It's the next sentence after provincial commissioner, where it says no correlation exists between the number of safety stock firearms and the number of illegal. So you're saying the opposite of an illegal firearm is a safety stock firearm. I don't know what that is.
In actual fact, I thought the police would help us give us statistics to suffer. Because now there have been illegal firearms that have been returned. I don't know whether they checked them. And I would be interested to know, out of those returned illegal firearms, how many were stolen from the police? Because it would help defendants, you know, calling them, if they could have statistics, then we'd be able to support this sentence, no correlation.
Didn't say we noted that and they've been reduced. I think that's the same thing.
five other legislative target ranks comma, noting that they had been reduced from 17 cents to 14.
What we actually said was tricky.
Under the section, right? Page 12. Remember we said in the beginning that we were
going to... On page 12,
yes, sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay. So there's nothing on page 11?
No.
On page 12 now? Okay. You want to take that then? You on page 11?
Yes.
Okay, let's take that.
Which one?
Okay, that is page 12. Anything else? page 30. That's not sentence of too long, it's like a the longest one. These are referring to court where the case is located. There's an imbalance in the law of the liver between the public service.
I know such a thing.
That has a direct bearing on detection rates. For example, in Mpumalanga, there are 85 police stations serviced by 3 professionals. That's one sentence. Detectives have to take their cases to these prosecutors often multiple times. Moreover, when they are unable to make a decision on their cases, they are then referred to the DPP in Pretoria. This in turn entails these same detectives having to commute to and from Pretoria. In the process of going back and forth, other cases are neglected inevitably, impacting on the detection rate. That is why, while there are some case dockets that are found during inspection to suggest that no work has been done on them, the investigating officer responsible for them has numerous case dockets going to court that demonstrate, in fact, that a lot of work has been done and that he or she is caught up in the court process. That is why there are some case dockets that are found during inspection to suggest that no work has been done on them. The investigating officer responsible for them has numerous case dockets. There's something there. Okay.
Can we categorize this? There are three strong views that are coming from this paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, they correlate, yes. But it seems as if they are mixed in the sense that a person, when is reading it, is telling other stories instead of really believing of what is happening. Can people who are able to construct this, the paragraph constructed better than what is constructed now. I don't think it's a good English, but it's very bad constructed.
I have to agree that it does sound like a huge litany of excuse. But on the other hand, as the AAP says, the criminal justice system is dysfunctional. So they are fighting this business all the time, having to go back, and the prosecutor doesn't arrive, and the prosecutor, then they change the court appointed prosecutor, and I've been to cases where they've changed a different person 5 times in a row, and the guy is pulled back, and so it's tough on the cop, but on the other hand, it was noted by the, I don't know how the criminal justice system knows something.
That's
some personal stuff. I don't know.
That is why, while there are some cases of concern of health, I mean, that's part of the
that photograph needs to go out. Because that's an opinion that has been given. The point is that even that opinion question is captured already in the previous part of the paragraph, so that we don't really have to say it again. And I think it is an opinion. If we stop that paragraph at the detection rate, because inevitably impacting on the detection rate is saying exactly what the next sentence and sentences are saying. So my suggestion would be that we just scrap that even why. And up to the end of the paragraph.
Mm. It's just a little more than that. It's quite
a repetition of what was said in the
other paragraph.
Exactly.
Well, we did it,
that
is right.
Yeah, from the end of the paragraph. Full process.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, questions, questions?
Excuse me, we just said technical component. However, it was noted by the criminal justice system. I don't know how the criminal justice system. It's noted by the criminal justice system that the statute is wrong in the final decision over conviction rate. Well, who has ever suggested that they do? I don't know how they said it. Who said that? By who is the criminal justice system we're referring to? Who's the criminal justice system?
It's their response.
No, but you're part of the criminal justice system.
I think why don't we let you check this one?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I don't understand what they were responding to. Has that ever any state said they have a final decision over conviction? They're like standing up for themselves here, but I don't know what they're answering. I don't believe the state ever said we determine what comes out of the court. They do,
We're moving on to Capote.
Chapter 14 or page 14?
Page 14. Page 14, FCSD.
Where is she?
By which time the should be reassessed. Next year. I don't know if that should be put in there or not, because then we know as a committee that on at that day we are human. Because he said it's not a deadline. And we can
call
Jeremy the question and answer.
Have the question and answer. One of the very few we are. Oh. So maybe it would be useful to have that in there for the committee as a reference.
There's something that worries me, Madam Chair. The last page.
Which
is the
last paragraph?
Yeah, the last paragraph. Greater focus will be placed during inspection by head office to ensure that if you think it is not to get back to companions and see their case docket are finalized. If it is found that the fact is not given to companions as instructed, not action will be suspicious. My worry with that is that there is no way where you address why. Because some of the problems today, and this is up there, police have detectives and put a huge pile of rockets. Now, how on earth do we expect, because I agree this is what is required. But until you address the number of dockets they carry, you are not going to be able to, and you're going to find a lot of detectives being sent to DC, not because they are negligent, not because they are not efficient, because of the pile of work. So So what I'm saying is this manager, this one is must first address of why sometimes I'm talking about efficient techniques are not able to give the feedback. You take the issue of just make an example of Kumana. If you have to run between three cones, like it is fair, you might not be able to do what the instruction, not because you are inefficient or negligent, because of the pile of work.
But I think people must account and be able to account.
No, really, they must account.
To say why they are not able to do that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Madam, but I'm saying the management of the police must help the detective. It doesn't help to come with punitive measures when you have not created conditions conducive for these people to do their work.
Department did not say they're going to decrease the number of incidents of escapes by 100% of incidents. In fact, by 0%.
Well,
I think we actually questioned them.
We questioned the average figure of 50% increase in the number of escapes. Then on the next page, it says that the department has now set the target to decrease the number of incidents by 50%. So if it's 50% already, then you just
I'm confused.
Terrified.
Yeah, it's still about 100%. This is not a language. somebody that likes me. I know, it's just you're saying, I mean, it's quite clear. We did question the fact that they said it's free. That we questioned and I think it's giving me a capital that we are thing. But they then say their target is 50% of the current estate. So it's not, it's going to be 100%, it's not adding the 50%. So when it's 700 this year, it should be 380
the following,
following year. And then if they say 50 again, it will be 190 the next year.
So if we can, now it happens to me anyway, if we can say the target is to decrease the number of incidents, the department, well, it's not worth 50%, so
about
50% of the current figure. The current
year, of the current figure.
50% of the
current figure. Yes, to make it perfect, you can possibly say additionally. The department has now set the target to decrease the number of incidents by 50% during the next financial year. So that means, as well as the amount that they have increased previously.
The department has set obviously additionally.
It's wanted to, and I don't think they did, Top Fruit did not refer to what they're now complaining about. They're now complaining about and striking what they were working to get the demilitarization of the chief, but they actually didn't refer to it. Am I correct in that? So this is a correct answer.
I think the issue that I'm missing here is our concern that we've raised with Treasury regarding the type of the
yes, yes.
Even though it's legally correct, the 8% legally correct, we expect in terms of the budget this time that we've got a problem with what that can amount to, and that we've actually requested Treasury to have a look at
it. Yes, yes, yes.
Some more will even say to worry that it's always taken from the municipal policy.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not appearing anyway.
No, it's not appearing anyway.
I think even under municipal policy. Okay. And that is always taken from the municipal policy.
Oh,
that's
the time.
Okay. Further concern is expressed about it continuing the shuffling or continuing.
Which page is that?
Okay. Recommendation and conclusion.
This is where the court is 7% issue.
On recommendation.
Can I ask a question on this issue? I know that for a particular period, the recommendation is 7 to 10%. The police come back to us recommending 4 to 7, which in my view we must first examine. Why is it changed? I'm just worried about without any scientific analysis, just say you will stick to 7 to 10%, and then discover later again that they are not able. Probably, that's why I don't want to talk to them, but probably for the reason that in the light of the problem in meeting this, they have decided to come a little bit lower and move up. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should not say 7 to 10%, but I'm saying we must examine. I don't remember us interrogating this expenses. Why this change from 7 to 10 to 4%, from 4 to 7? That's what I'm saying. If they can make it, It doesn't help us to unilaterally say you will bring 7 to 10% when they are not able to do it.
Honourable I understand what you say, Honourable Judge, and it makes scientific sense because these figures really should be based on scientific findings.
Exactly.
The problem will be when the department appears before the portfolio committee, it says 4 to 7. And you say why? Because you are expecting them to have done exactly what we're talking about. To therefore to say based on these scientific findings, we think it's not possible based on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It becomes a problem when they just come and say we're bringing it down to 4 to 7%. You say why? There isn't any proof that says we have done our homework. Then you cannot agree with them because they've not done their homework. That is very, what you're saying is very, very correct. But probably, it definitely must come from the department. And because it, the 7 to 10 came from the department, would have expected that before saying 7 to 10, they did their homework. Is it achievable? you did not achieve it. If they think that it's not achievable under the circumstances, so they must be able to come back to the portfolio committee and say, this is what we have done, this is the study we've conducted, or these are the scientific findings, this is what is happening in other countries, and so blah, blah, blah. Based on that, we can't reach and we've decided to bring it up. They are not doing that. That becomes a problem. Honorable Ndlovu, Honorable Jeff, I want us to close now.
Well, I think Jeff has just captured what I wanted to say. The onus is on them to prove the figure they put on the debt press. It's not for us. We questioned the 4 to 7. They didn't give us the answer. They didn't elaborate on the answer. We understand what Mr. George is saying. But it's onus on them to make sure that it works, so that we believe them. They can't come from 7 to 10, and then in the next financial year, they come from 4 to 7. That's a different note.
Jefferson, yes, no, I agree with you 100%. That on the one hand, and on the other hand, Jefferson, the fact that I want to caution members in starting to believe their own propaganda.
Yes.
Because the fact of the matter is that in the targeted areas last year, the police in most of those areas did achieve their target, and
yes,
they missed it. They missed it with a point something percent. So for us now, to bring that target would be wrong. So even without that scientific data, I think we would be wrong to agree to this thing, to bring it down. We cannot justify, as representatives of the people of this country, that we allow the police to have the least successful rate when they've almost achieved in all of these areas the required figures. And secondly, not while we spend the amount of money and resources that we're asking on the road. I think we've got a responsibility, and that to me is the bottom line. Let's remember that they've achieved basically in all of these areas, they did achieve their targets last year. It is one or two that they've missed, not even with the percentage of 2%.
Yeah, I have to
agree
with you. You know, I think what riles me the most is the way we sound up. We found our conclusions as a sort of throwaway line. Oh, now that the and we went, what do you mean the target 4 to 7? Oh, no, it's been dropped. We find out from the Treasury, not from SAS. I mean, I found that appalling. And as I say, there was no analysis, there was no explanation for us, there was no discussion. It was just, oh, well, that's what it is. So I'm sorry, it is just, and now what happens now if they don't reach the 4 to 7? Then next year we say, and then you know what, they're only going to try to get 2% of the criminals in the country. But when they don't reach that, then what? I find it appalling. I just can't buy it at all.
Another conflict?
I just don't think, I mean, it's potentially an operational issue, and I don't think we have the authority to say and be willing to talk to them and do. Well, that's right, then we do that for the better. But I mean, I think the other point as well is exactly linked to the budget. I mean, these are being resourced more and more every year. And it's been properly managed, there's no reason why they should be reducing their costs at all. I mean, and if they've managed to get almost there and there, then they should be increasing anyway. I mean, it's 47%, I mean, even 7% is such a low file of energy compared with the resources, that the increase in resources they've actually getting. And yeah, so it's unfortunately out of the
question.
Chairperson,
if
I
miss the national, the other point is that, you know, if you look at
gone. I think that talk is what you're saying in the 90s. Not good enough. I don't need it. The quantity of you read and take the book about the fact you not on a daily basis. Darling, you need more clarity.
Can I only say I'm persuaded by your idea? But honestly, you know, I'm not saying we should end up with all of us think, which exactly what you say. People itself came with this figure of 4.27. When they are asked,
they couldn't.
That's why I in my belief, I would still believe. That's not to say we go back. We must ask them. I think it's important to know from them, even if not, for the budget, what is it that you did not tell us? Which, what is it that made you to all of a sudden change?
No, I think we therefore agree that we cannot accept this decree. Based on many issues we've already highlighted in this meeting, we can't accept it. I asked my secretary to bring down the strategic plan to check whether there's anything on sector policy here. There seems to be nothing. I mean, I don't know. I asked my neighbor here to check if there is anything on sector policy because there's nothing on this report.
They
that
probably forgotten it.
And I think it's something which we need to commend us to read.
Can you recommend
that? Yes, on the recommendation. I'm not sure whether it's an omission. I did not check it myself, but it's not on the report.
Will you check that?
Can you?
There's also a note in there, right at the beginning, why those figures were divided. I think Kevin is divine, so right in the report.
No.
As a matter of fact, we are not accepting the decree. Really, we can't. Not with this budget.
No.
No, but Madam Chair, I mean, I agree with you 100%. But the point at which I'm pleading with us, if the cabinet has changed, I don't believe the cabinet can just wake up and say, change. Surely they discuss. Is it not in our interest, even if we're saying we're not changing, is it not in our interest to know the reason behind the change?
I agree with Mr. Dawson, it is in our interest. But in the meantime, we can still reject it. The fact is that the cabinet doesn't take these decisions in a vacuum either. They inform, their decisions are informed by information given to them by the department. When the department couldn't motivate us, I think the department also failed in that. So I just think that the fact of the matter is we can interact as a committee on the decree. And maybe what we should interact on is not necessarily on the decrease or the increase, but what the figure should actually be. Maybe that is what our interaction should be. What is an acceptable figure, given the challenge that the police face, but also given the resources that we both give it. And I don't think it changes our look at this thing. The cabinet takes a decision informed by the department. And the fact of the matter is the department couldn't motivate that. I think it doesn't change where we stand on the issue. And yes, we can interact with it. And maybe we should interact in future. And maybe we should come up with a figure that we as a committee, representatives of the people, are comfortable with, that it should be, that will be acceptable also to the people out there. That will actually make a difference. But for the purpose of this report, and for the purpose of the interaction that we had with the department at that time, nothing changed. It stands as we say we reject that change.
I think we can't accept the interaction.
Yeah.
It could be very wrong. When I'm talking about people who go to church on Sundays and therefore, you know, either increasing or reducing, we're talking about and therefore we really must, the department has to make sure that it puts systems in place so that we reduce crime in South Africa. We really have to. There's no way. I mean, the budget is actually talking to the budget that we are debating on Thursday is so huge. It's been increased so much so that the department is able to do everything to fight crime. Everything. Whatever else you're talking about, administration, you're talking about anything else, everything is talks to crime fighting, prevention and so on. Now you can't just in the middle of nowhere. Even before, what is in the university that target had a time frame.
Yeah.
You know, we've not reached even the end of the time frame of is it 2014 or whatever?
2014.
We've not reached the 2014 to say we've gone this far and we are reviewing because it's the end of the term of this target. And therefore we think we can't answer. Just in the middle of that duration, then they've changed. It's complex, but I don't think we really can accept it. Let's be, I'm not disagreeing with the Honorable just to say we probably need more information. But it doesn't mean that if cabinet accept, we accept, no? We are parliament.
Yeah.
The executive. And I want to close this discussion now.
Please.
Because otherwise we're taking time now.
And you know we will.
the department is here now. and let's give department 15 minutes for tea. And the wife there drinking tea. Let's deal with the ICT report. Yeah.
Just a recommendation.
Recommendation.
Obviously, that. We don't have a mandate to say that we'll approve it. It has to go out. You know, since here we recommend the budget vote to pass. And it's very nice for you, but that's not how we work. Okay, can I just interrupt? I think you're smarter than my minority report.
Either education commander or cluster commander and the implementation of sector policy and state increasing throughout the country. It's a sentence. Yes, I think we still have to raise concerns with regard to the issue of sector policy. That's mentioned in passing in a sentence. Examples, in fact, examples of these initiatives are the restructuring of the station into more manageable clusters, the placement of senior experienced personnel members at this level to coordinate effective and responsive policing within and across station boundaries, either as station commanders or as cluster commanders, and the implementation of sector policing in station precincts throughout the country. Also,
we still stand by the decision.
I think we do.
We still stand by the decision.
In fact, as a matter of fact, this also calls for debriefing by the department.
Yes.
To say it still is priority. Maybe talking something which is no longer the priority. Maybe they have learned something new now, which we are not aware of.
Yeah, it's not even a priority. That is the basis of visible policing.
Mm-hmm.
It's their policy. So if they adopted a new policy or they plan to adopt a new policy, that then things come to us and tell us about that.
And if you go to the police station, this talks to what is happening. This.
I mean, unfortunately, it's the same thing for truth.
Okay. Let's go to ICT.
That's Annalisa specialist.
Page one on I want us to get the presentation from the department at least at 11:30. Page one. Page two.
Page 8.
the top bullet point, it ends the sentence with regards to, yeah, that it could be used to transfer, but the question mark at the end is suddenly not in bold and it's underlined. You obviously try to make it bold and put the wrong key. Page 8, first bullet point. And the, at the end of the bullet point, the question mark is not in bold and it's underlined.
Page 9. Page 10. Page 10, the same thing applies. That's the letter, recommendation.
Again, the recommendation. Obviously, we can't recommend that any vote be passed without correct changes are put. So, if you vote for them, we're out of it. But that can't be.
Can I just ask this?
I'm not Malay.
Louise and Mary put in our recommendation our concern that according to the parliamentary program, the second term we were supposed to be having an IPD application and it's not here.
I've
got no parliamentary program and there is no IPD bill and it needs to be done with two by the parliamentary and it's not here. Should we not protect our concern that hasn't been called before?
But
that's the responsibility of the secretary, not ICD. Legislation is the responsibility.
No, but it's related to the ICD.
It might be legislation by ICD, but the responsibility lies with the secretary.
I'm not sure whether we did not raise the issue of the 6 monthly report on the VA.
When
did we
last see what it was? I can't on that one. But I think in terms of the legislation, I don't think we can put on that. Because if we were told that the legislation would come to the Parliament Committee this year, we wouldn't give it a specific month.
We
were. Well, we're told that the protest committee put it in our program. That's when we wanted to see it. But my understanding is that it's actually before cabinet at the moment, one to cabinet. I'm satisfied that, I think if coming sort of towards the end of the year, we haven't seen that there needs to talk to raise the alarm, but I don't think.
I think it is right in the ruling party. Because for us, on this party, we're going to raise anything. I'm just ruining.
Well, we have these two reports now.
Yes.
And can we therefore adopt them as our report with amendment? If we have.
Yes.
I'm moving for adoption.
We are moving for the adoption of the report with amendment.
Yes.
Yes.
Any second that?
I'll second.
Another point you expert is seconding and then
you understand that there's a difference in adopting this report and supporting the fight.
Yes.
In the report it says you do support the idea.
No. No. That is something else. That is something else. Don't talk politics here.
I'm standing
here.
I have to say it. So I can't get permission from my. I'm asking about the report.
Tell me about the report.
The same word says that we approve the vote.
You are adopting the report.
Are we talking about the report?
Well, in the report, and quite clearly says at the end on both of them, it says that we recommend that the budget be passed on both of them. I can't recommend that. I have no mandate to do that. So in that case, I have to abstain.
Now, thank you very much. We therefore have the report adopted. Thank you very, very much. As attachment, you are most welcome. And our apologies for making you to wait. We therefore moving straight to your presentation. There is the third item which I think we'll deal with after the presentation by the department. But for now, let's take the department presentation. It's on the national instruction in relation to the Child Justice Act. We are in a very small committee room.
What? Marriage? Who's marrying who?
Yeah,
I do. How can they do that without a witness?
Thank you very much, members.
Let's
continue. And members are really free to grab a cup of tea or whatever that is there.
Yeah.
We don't have time on our side, so we'll just.
In the light of you fight.
The meeting is on. We are happy that the department is here to present its national instruction, but we also take note of the fact that this is happening. These are supposed to be in place by the 1st of April when the Child Justice Act wants to be on operation, and we think that the department will at least brief us on why they did not have this national instruction ready at that time, after that election. Thank you for being here. You're most welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I think we owe an explanation. There's no question about it. The Act was very clear that before the coming into operation of the Act, this should have been submitted to Parliament, and it should have been in Parliament for at least a period of 30 days. But the one thing you need to understand as far as the national instructions are concerned, national instructions are not legislative measures. It's simply internal directives issued within the police service. So, any internal directives that you want to issue must obviously be in line with the Constitution, first of all, and secondly, with the legislation, national and provincial legislation, and also in line with regulations, because these are legislative instruments. And that is the fact of the matter. Now, Madam Chair, the position of the Child Justice Act, it was clear it will be coming into operation on the 1st of April. So already last year, I think it was during August last year, we had discussions with the Department of Justice. They were in the process of drafting regulations as they were required in terms of the Child Justice Act. And those regulations we require in order to draft their national instruction to have it available, because it must be in line with it. So they gave us drafts, we gave our inputs into that process to the Department of Justice, and eventually I am told, Madam Chair, that on the 26th of March this year, the regulations were approved. So you will understand that in actual fact it was impossible for us to issue these national instructions. It didn't mean that we would be waiting for them to finalize it. We already had a very clear understanding of what would more or less be expected, and we were working on that basis. So we drafted this stuff, but it could not be finalized, and the Minister and the National Commissioner could not authorize that it be tabled in Parliament before the regulations were approved. So eventually we had discussions and decided that we are going to go ahead and present it to Parliament, even though the regulations have not been approved, but because the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development indicated that he is happy with the content of the regulations. So therefore we said, let us now carry on, because we can always change it afterwards. If there are amendments to the regulations after the sessions in Parliament, we can then change it. But that was the position, and that's the reason why this was brought out. I can assure you that these draft national instructions were already available at the beginning, the start of February this year, for us to find out. But because of the discussions with the Department of Justice, and the fact that the Department of Justice was still amending the regulations, we were in an extremely difficult situation. So that's the explanation for the late submission. However, Madam Chair, we also realize that obviously we cannot have a situation where the Act comes into operation and there are no national instructions to actually regulate the conduct of our members. So therefore we were placed in a rather difficult situation, and we considered it very carefully and eventually agreed that we would request the National Commissioner to issue interim instructions, not that national instruction as required by the Act, but interim instructions. Now, Madam Chair, the content of the national instruction that was submitted to Parliament is in essence the content of the interim instruction. So this is already in operation. And we went ahead and we presented our information sessions in all 9 provinces before the 1st of April to ensure that in every province, the top structure, the command structure, your cluster commander, etc., were informed and were aware of what is coming. We also agreed with our training division that they will prepare training sessions, and we also trained the trainers who would be presenting it. And that process, 2-day training sessions, have already started. The next phase and the final phase will be the training, a training intervention which will last a week and which will deal with scenario issues so that members can better understand and get practical experience in dealing with it. So that process is ongoing. Madam Chair, that is as far as the explanation of why this is only now before Parliament. But if we now can start on slide 1, which is page 1 of the presentation, you'll see there's a reference to section 97.5 of the Act. And I think it's important that we remember that this national instruction is submitted to Parliament because of the imperative contained in section 97.5 of the Act. Under normal circumstances, national instructions will not be referred to Parliament, because they are internal directives that the National Commissioner must take responsibility for. But because this was required in terms of this legislation, that's the reason why this instruction is before the committee. Now, in terms of that section, it outlines a number of issues that the National Commissioner must address in the national instruction which is to be issued. It also determines that it must be submitted to Parliament, and it must be with Parliament for a period of 30 days. It does not require Parliament to approve the national instruction. It says it must be here. And
Then after certain 30 days have been completed, then the National Commissioner must issue. Obviously, while it is before Parliament, and at an occasion like this, Parliament will be able to give us input and say, but listen, you've got a problem here. This should be changed. This is not going to work. This will be better. And we welcome any input that we can receive from any person. In fact, our instructions were so widely distributed for comment, and even to NGOs and all the other departments, as is required by the Act. And we have considered the inputs, and we have made amendments where it was necessary and appropriate, and the inputs assisted us to actually have a better product. So, Madam Chair, the document, the national instruction that is before this committee, is now the one prepared in accordance with the provisions of Section 975. So, if we can start, and we will deal with the paragraphs contained in the instruction. In essence, I think the pivotal or the paragraph on which the whole instruction is based is contained in paragraph 3 of the instruction, explaining to our members exactly what is expected of them when they deal with children who are in conflict with the law. Remember, it's only children who are alleged to have committed an offence. That's all that we are dealing with here in the child justice. So these principles are outlined. We explain to our members that children are different from adults and must be treated differently. And we go in the training portion in detail into what this actually means. We explain to them the dangers of children getting involved in crime, of children eventually becoming educated to be better criminals, and how we need to stop that already at this stage. The first time that child is in conflict with the law becomes vital, because if we deal with that child correctly at that stage, we may prevent that child from eventually becoming a hardened criminal, getting involved in robbery, murder, rape, and what have you. So we explain to our members that the first member who comes into contact with the child must understand that his dealing with the child will set the tone on the manner in which the child will respond. Not what he will say. That's not what we are talking about. But what is the response we are going to get from this child? Will he decide, I will turn away, I will not continue to commit crime? Or will he say, yes, well, now this time they caught me out, but next time I will be more clever and prevent them from catching me out? Okay. So we explain to our members that they must be aware that the child may be overwhelmed and scared, and they must be patient, obviously. Without humiliating or intimidating the child. But it's an extremely important principle that we want to inculcate in our members. We want them to understand that this child, it may be a child, but you know what, this child has got rights. And it's important that the child realizes from the beginning that he gets recognition as a human being and is allowed an opportunity to make inputs into the process. Because internationally it has been proven that once you have children in your criminal justice system, that children have the experience that they mean nothing. You remember the old saying of the of people saying a child must be seen and not be heard. And this is the whole idea, to change that concept, to say no, we must actively involve the child in the process. It affects him or her. And that child must be able to participate in decision making regarding himself. Obviously within the limits of the law. But the child must not feel that he is an object in the criminal justice system. Standing at one point, and the criminal justice system decides and he simply waits to hear what's going to happen to him. He must be actively involved in that process. And therefore, from the beginning, the first context, we want that principle to be applied. and the child be given an opportunity to get involved. And then as a general principle, we deal with the rest throughout the instruction, but as a general principle, we say that it is a principle that a child is not arrested if there is any other possible way of dealing with the child. We don't want the child to be arrested. In actual fact, Madam Chair, if we can achieve a situation where the police have not one single child in detention, I will throw a party and I'll invite you all to that party. Okay. Of course, management of this process is extremely important, and that's why the next paragraph deals with the responsibilities of the station commander. We say that the probation officer is going to be an extremely important role player in this whole criminal justice system as it relates to this particular child. So therefore we say that we must work extremely closely together with that person. Once we identify a child who is involved or has committed or is alleged to have committed a crime, that child must be properly assessed, and that's not the job of the police. In fact, we are not trained. We cannot do it. There are experts out there. And that was foreseen by Parliament, and Parliament said that it must be done by a probation officer. So, we say, yes, in South Africa we have problems as far as probation officers are concerned. We don't have enough. Whether we will ever have enough is a different story. So eventually, after lengthy debates with the Department of Justice and the Department of Social Development, we agreed. And that is the latest change that was brought about in the regulations of the Department of Justice, that any social worker qualifies as a probation officer. So therefore, they need not be a designated, will be deemed to be a designated probation officer, if you understand. So if there is no probation officer designated for a particular police station, the station commander must stand out of the water and say, okay, but what's the situation in my station area? Are there any social workers in this area? And if he finds them, he must contact them, make and liaise with them and the Department of Social Development, and then try and identify those social workers and get a working relationship with them so that they all understand exactly how this process will unfold. So whenever we identify a child, either when the child is arrested or we deal with the child by means of arrest notice, then in those circumstances the important priority that must take place is the child must be assessed. So station commissioner must identify the social workers that's available, get agreement with them. How do you want us to notify? Because it will differ from station area to station area. It will not be the same in Pretoria than it would have been in a very small town like, for instance, Pofada. So, the fact of the matter is, for those local conditions, there must be local agreement and cooperation between the departments. Okay. Now, once we've identified it, we say the station commander must now issue station orders. In other words, he must inform his members, listen, in this area, it is Madam so-and-so. She will conduct the assessment. Or it is the following three people, and we will do it in alphabetical order or whatever, so that not all of the children go to one place. But they rotate it. Okay. So it's a process that he must identify. And secondly, it's extremely important, as you will all know, the Act requires that a child who gets injured or is severely traumatized must get immediate and effective medical treatment. So, what's the situation in a particular station area? Perhaps there is a huge academic hospital. Perhaps there is no hospital. Perhaps there is a clinic. Perhaps there is a private hospital or whatever, but the station commander must identify what are the resources that are at my disposal within my station area, and then it explains to him that he must now draft station orders to inform his members so that his members locally are informed exactly what do you do here at Paul Father if something happens.
And then we also say, these documents, the acts, the regulations, the national instructions, station order, and the process that was agreed upon between the station commander and the designated probation officer, must at all times be available in the community service center, so that we don't have a situation where they turn around and say, but I did not know. You understand? Paragraph 7 starts with the children. And the first children that we are dealing with are children below the age of 10. We deal with the whole issue of the change in the age of criminal capacity from 7 to 10. We explain to them exactly what is expected. We explain to them that such a child may not be arrested. And in training, we say to them, read my law. Know anything. So, they must understand this is the process that we expect of them. So what are they supposed to do if they cannot arrest? We explain to them exactly. We must hand the child over to the parents. But of course, the fact that the child is below the age of 10 does not mean that because he does not have criminal capacity, nothing is going to happen. There will be a process followed. He will be assessed by a social worker. A social worker will go to the children's court and say, listen, in these circumstances, we believe the child should be removed. Or the child should be removed from a child and youth care center or placed in some other proper care. But that is not the job of the police service. Our job is to identify this child that's been involved in the commission of something which may have been a crime had the child been older than 10 years. And we then say, now, first of all, give the child to the parents. The parents are not there, as often in the case of three children, then the child must be taken to a child youth care center. And unfortunately, of course, and I believe this committee is very well aware of the fact that there are very, very few child and youth care centers in the Republic. So what else is available? Then we must look at the Children's Act, and we explain to them how to go about to identify a proper place for temporary safe care for the child. And then, with the assistance and cooperation of a social worker, identify a suitable place for temporary safe care and then take the child in. And once the child is there, the child must be handed over into the care of some adult. And in accordance with the Child Justice Act, that adult becomes an appropriate adult. He has responsibilities towards the child, and therefore he's an appropriate adult, and you can hand over the notice, which I think is also a very interesting matter. Because this notice that must be handed over to the child is a notice that must be handed to the child, not to the parents. But we must provide a copy to the parents so that they are aware of their responsibilities to see to it that the child arrives there. We explain exactly how the designated probation officer must receive, must be informed, and how they must keep record of. What we're going to do, and we are in the process, it's not yet finalized, obviously because of the time delayed, was not possible to have this completed before 1 April. But what we are in the process of doing is printing books. And it's of those special books that if you write on the first copy, it presses through on the second and the third one. Okay. So we will be issuing books. In the meantime, we provided them with the forms, and they must use carbon paper to ensure that you have three duplicate originals. You have the one that you wrote, the duplicate original below the carbon, and below the second page, carbon. Okay, so children below the age of 10 is not dealt with in the police. It is simply referred to, and we must be sure that we get them involved in a different place, as required by the Child Justice Act. Then if a child is 10 years or older, then it all depends on the nature of the crime that is committed. If it is a Schedule 1 offense, then the Act prescribes certain things that must happen. Once again, the child may not be arrested. In those certain circumstances, if there are no compelling reasons to arrest, in the odd event that there are compelling reasons to arrest, then the Act provides that we may arrest. We explain to them exactly how that should be done and what should be done with the child. That child should preferably not be in a police holding cell. Although we may arrest him, he must go to a child and youth care center, and the designated probation officer must be notified. So that the designated probation officer can do the assessment, and after the assessment then appear at the preliminary inquiry and be in a position to inform the presiding officer of her findings or his findings during the assessment, so that the presiding officer will be in a position to take an informed decision of what would be in the best interest of the child when the child is dealt with. We explain what must happen in the case where the child is 10 years or older and there are compelling reasons to arrest. Then obviously, if you arrest the child, the process that must be followed, the child should once again be detained in the child and youth care center, and then we must also inform the designated probation officer within 24 hours, and we must keep records of all this that is done. If the child is 10 years or older and there are compelling reasons to arrest, then obviously the parents must be informed. We make provision for that. We make provision for record keeping, in other words, to ensure that we have proof that the parent was actually informed. And we explain also the fact that if there are no other place of safety where the child may be detained, the child must be detained in the police yard. Then we deal with children who are 10 years or older and they are alleged to have committed Schedule 2 offences. Remember, Schedule 2 offences, Schedule 1 offences are very minor offences, Schedule 2 more serious, and Schedule 3 the really serious offences, like for instance murder, rape, etc. Schedule 1 deals with the minor offences, that would be trespassing, it would be instances of theft, shoplifting for instance, where small amounts are involved. Okay. Now if it's a Schedule 2 offence, you have a choice. You are investigating this matter. Once you investigate the matter, complaint was laid to the police, you investigate the matter, identify the child is older than 10, you may go to the public prosecutor and request the public prosecutor to issue a summons, which means we are not arresting the child. We issue a summons and the child goes to court in circumstances where we are satisfied the child is actually living in conditions that will ensure that he will actually appear at the preliminary inquiry. Once again, the forms are there that must be completed. Copies must be signed by the parents and adults, or appropriate adults, as well as the designated probation officer who must receive proof of it. Then we move on to children who are 10 years or older and to commit a Schedule 3 offense. In terms of the Child Justice Act, it's very clear that a child who has committed a Schedule 3 offense must be detained. And it's also very clear that in those circumstances, the child may only be detained either in the child and youth care center where there's a vacancy or in a police cell. So these are the children that are likely to find themselves in police cells. Obviously, all the processes once again apply. Parents must be informed, appropriate adults and the designated probation officer. We must retain records of and prove that we have informed those people, that they have been properly informed. But if we decide that we are not going to go that route, we are not going to arrest the child, we go to the public prosecutor, then we prescribe exactly how the summons must be served and what proof must be retained and how proof of the serving of the summons must be handed to the designated probation officer. And then we deal with the conditions of detention, in respect of which there are very clear stipulations contained in the legislation. A child must be detained separate from adults and separately from children of the opposite sex. And the conditions that must be taken into account and especially his or her vulnerability, and what will be the stuff that you need, the measures you need to take to reduce the risk of harm to the child. The fact that the child will be permitted visits by the parents, guardian, lawyer, social worker, etc., and that the child must be detained in a manner consistent with his or her special needs, including health care and food. Then we deal with the transportation, which is very important, and we try to convey a certain, or take a certain stance. We've decided as a department that whenever possible, we prefer that the child not be transported in a police van. So if there's an unmarked police vehicle available, and remember, all our detectives make use of unmarked police vehicles. So normally at every police station there will be unmarked police vehicles available. Preferably, if that is possible, the child must be transported in an unmarked police sedan. If that's not possible, then the next option is a marked sedan vehicle. And finally, if that is also not possible, the child must be transported in a marked police vehicle, a marked police van, but in that case, the child should preferably be transported in the front and not in the back of the van. That's the whole idea. We give them during the training clear directives on how to deal with the child, to prevent an escape, to ensure that the child will be safe while they are driving, etc. And we also say that children must be transported separately from adults. We explain to them the different scenarios. Let us say you have five adults and one child, five adults in the back of the van, child in the front together with you, or you have one adult and five children. It may be in those circumstances in the best interest of the child, the adult in front and the five children in the back, so that we can keep them safe. Obviously, there will be circumstances where, due to whatever emergency, it is not possible to follow these directives, and in those cases, exactly what must be done. There is a specific form that must be completed and must be submitted to the presiding officer who conducted the preliminary inquiry, so that he will see what is the situation and may give direction. For instance, give issue a court order to the Department of Correctional Services or the Department of Social Development, telling them that they should transport the child from the court to wherever. In other words, but that's within the ambit of the court. And then the last paragraph, paragraph 20 to 23, deals with confessions, admissions, pointing out, and identity parades. And we explain that in each one of those instances, a child is entitled to have his or her parent, or if not possible, guardian, or if not possible, an appropriate adult present while he or she makes a confession, does a pointing out, makes an admission, an identity parade. We deal with that in detail, and we deal with it in detail during our training session to explain to our members exactly what is expected. Finally, Madam Chair, in terms of the Children's Act, we have a provision, section 141, that says it's a criminal offence for any person to use a child. It means a person below the age of 18, any child, to commit an offence. And we've seen that in the past. Whenever they commit the housebreaking, they send the small child in because he can fit between the burglar bars, etc., to open the door from the inside, and or to pass objects through the burglar bars, etc. So whenever we establish that the child is being used by an adult to commit an offence, there is a criminal offence, that person is guilty of an offence. And we explain how that should be dealt with. And in essence, Madam Chair, in short, that is the content of the National Instruction. I'm available for questions.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you for we will be taking questions. Honorable Annelies, Honorable Honorable Keita, Honorable Fred, Honorable Billy Church, and that's it.
First question is, I do not see a Coptic. Has the department done a Coptic? And what is the cost of this? If I'm confident that there will be no cost to this. The second question is, how is the department going to make sure that these issues are adhered to? I'm asking that question in light of what we see in the domestic violence act, which is very, very similar in terms of obligations on station commissioners, etc., etc., arresting officers, the officer on duty, and that we still see non-compliance with that. What sanctions have been put in place for the officers who are not going to adhere to?
Two questions from me. When you refer to your designated probation officer and the head of state is trying to find the local people and pull them in, etc., what happens in the instance that there is no person available? In rural areas, you can talk to 100K and there's not a person available. What happens then? I mean, in many of these instances, you can't actually keep the child in a cell, and now there's no one available, but now they have to have a social services person who will visit them. What's the procedure in that sense? the issue of the members must not arrest a child below 10. It has happened. I mean, I've seen it in Richard Bay police station. About 2 years ago, I'm presuming this has always been a regulation, but there were about four children. They looked between 11 and 12. They've been here for 3 years in that cell. Now, after I had a little discussion with them, they were sent elsewhere the following day. But it happens. In isolated areas, isolated stations, they sometimes feel they have their reasons, they give the child accommodation at the second room. This instance, these children, they said, were up for serious crime, it was murder and rape. And they had made no effort, and again, it comes back to the domestic violence act, great on paper, but sometimes implementation of it just doesn't happen. So, what will happen if you see a station flouting these regulations? And then finally, your confession pointing out identification. Now, am I to presume you're talking about one-way glass here? I mean, for a child to walk up and down in front of 10 men, one of whom he's watched murder someone, or one of whom has raped him or her, it is the most terrifying experience. I mean, we were always told that children's courts, etc., the protection would be for the child and there would be one-way glass. I mean, is that in here? Are you doing anything to protect them from having to go through this awful situation, which is frankly tantamount to abuse?
Yeah, I just want to know, I mean, we've just heard earlier about the contract with the sex worker and how much time they spend running around and the doctor taking the doctor's support and so on. Now you're saying they have been an unmarked detective vehicle to take the children. Are the detectives themselves going to have to take the children around all over the place while they need to be investigating the crime? Or are you going to have more junior officers perhaps using the detective vehicle to take the vehicle?
I think, Chair, two questions really. The one issue is extremely complex, instruction, etc. Have we actually trained all tax personnel and get into the training at all the new stations? So if a child has to be arrested or picked up today, in the police station or rural area, will the official statement be national? Can we get that under? Can we get that category? Everybody can. That's my question. Then you spoke about the presentation. You spoke about the fact that you went from printing booklets. I can do it correctly. But I'm not dead at three.
It's a proper book.
It's official documentation.
Can you explain? Because there were a lot of things you explained in the presentation, which one wasn't really part of us to take comparison on that. The question I
want
to ask, when is this
book
going to be
written?
Okay.
The time
frame. Thank you. Madam Chair, when we had that meeting, joint meeting of justice and police, it became very clear in that meeting that we do not have enough of this community system. We do not have enough of this child and youth care center. Now, I want to ask you, how do you think this thing is going to be practical? I'm not talking if everybody, even including yourself, you say there are not enough community service centers for to keep shit, to keep these young people and these child and youth care. You also, in that meeting also, it was admitted that the probation officers are also another scarce.
Yeah.
So, how do you think this thing was a problem? Because now the problem is, it links now to my question. If now these officers must run around looking for probation officers they hand for, what are the implications that in your human resource? Because now it means they're going to run around looking for these people who are scared. Now you say a child of 10 must not be arrested. What's going to happen if the child of 10, because you can't find the child in youth care center, this child is, what is it, what's going to happen? You can't be arrested, you can't find it. You can't find the guardian or the parent. What are you going to do? You're going to just let him loose now. Because I think, now there's something I saw, is ensure the availability. Who must ensure that? Because the way it sounds here, it says this, the police, which I don't believe, says ensure the availability in the community service center of the act. Now, you see, my problem with, is it the Domestic Violence Act, there's supposed to be a copy of the national order, but all police things we went through, when we ask where they are not there, I'm talking about the good place. And in fact, one police station I visited, I discovered that the police were not even aware of that. That's the problem. How do you make sure now? How do we believe you now? The domestic violence was long to them, but the police were not even aware that there must be that national order. So now you talk about, these children must be arrested and detained separately. Their police stations are very small, congested. What does that mean? Talking about rural police stations, has got only 3 cells. It's full. How do you hope to achieve with that the child, these children must be detained separately? Or do you mean that in the case that the cells are full of elderly people are going to release them. There is another problem which I would like you to just hear with you. Not all young children, some already habitual or already been involved in criminal cases. You said yourself, you don't want a child to be taught or educated in crime. How do you make sure that even with other children that have already been frequently been in conflict with the law, you avoid putting your children with them in the light of your limited facilities?
I think my police officer
but also 1 month to look at time, something like that. You know, the question that I want to ask, I've already been asked, but I want to understand another thing. When we talk of issues, I think some of them are made our own decisions, make them best them. The person that members are in my head, if we talk of training, who are we training? Are we training management at national level or at provincial level? Or we are training these people who are going to do work from at ground level, at state level? The second question is that when you talk of who shall we have, who are we referring to? Who will come and assist when the threat comes, when the crisis? When you talk of You know, safe to go, more safe or safe. So where are those places? I would still go to the restaurant because in my township I don't have. We have these women who invest in, you know, cells. Their kids are staying there with them. When are those kids staying and start maybe taking care of those situations? So there's another thing that we always hear, that the shortage of police personnel. The shortage of vehicles, you know, now we are told of unmarked vehicles that going to transport those people. Are they within the budget or something that you think it will just come from, you know, somewhere? The very same police personnel that can't even combat crime today, and we are giving now an extra burden. If we make some sort of research around this, you know, type of information that is presented to us.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I understand the fact that the police are trying to comply with the law that is already in place. And this national instruction definitely will be trying to talk to them to address the demands as Terry X. This third 583G must be completed and submitted to the society. I just imagine that it's going to happen every day. Because I'm probably in Johannesburg, in the city, and Cape Town in the city is my home. But in my area where I come from, it's going to happen every day. In the rural area, it's going to happen every day. In fact, I just wanted to check, because you are interacting with the police during your training. What are they saying about this method? Because it's easy to implement. What is their view? Whilst in this, they may not have an option not to implement it because the law is there, but what is their view? In Mayflower or Spain, those two police stations do not have police cells, holding cells they don't have. So each time they arrest, they have to transport, they have to drive a distance of about 100 and something kilometers to either MLO prison or police station. Or Bitterdief, the nearest will be Elukwatini, which has, I think it has about 3 or 4 police cells. But the court is in Mayflower. So when they arrest, they transport to MLO. Today, that person arrested, and the following day, transport that person back to Mayflower. If that person is not granted bail, they still have got to transport this person back. And each time they have to fill in this form, is that true? And I'm thinking, the presiding officer in that court, Mayflower, having to decide as to who should transport them because there are no vehicles, no police. So if there are no choice, he doesn't have. Because there's nothing. It's only the police that can transport. And what it means is that every day, for no reason and no purpose, they will be filling in this form for nothing. Because it's not going to change. the situation is just like that, and but also in your third plan, there isn't even a plan to build those police cells in the next 5 years. So there won't be any change in the next 5 years. So they will not be able to comply. For really, for me, this is just a real waste of time. It's adding more admin work on the police than what they're already doing. I'm really just asking. Because they will not be able to do anything else. They only have two vehicles that can, you know, be on the road, and they only have two or three policemen, and if they go there, they've got to be two in the car to accompany the other one to MLO. And if it is two children and two adults, another child will definitely sit with the other. With the other, definitely. As a matter of fact, I don't even see them putting the child in front because they are two. I'm really asking as to whether have you, I think the question on costing this, not only in terms of finances, but also in terms of the equipment that we have, in terms of the human resources that we have, will we be able to really implement this? Is it possible? And I'm not saying it should not be implemented, the law is there, but is it feasible? I'm really asking. So that we don't go there and people are, we say these are irresponsible police. They're taken to court every day because they're not complying with the law or with the national instructions that are in place. I can't imagine if really I was a police, a training police station. I don't know how I would implement it. Really, I don't know.
Sorry. Before the answer.
I'm not talking about what is the mangoes.
Mangoes is verified. That's just what. Before you ask them to, if the national instruction is given to the police station, and one parent is a lawyer, and these things are not carried, are we not opening up for the department to be sued? I'm just asking these things because ask us all these questions. If these national instructions are not followed as they are, and then somebody is a professional to know about these things, are we not opening up for the department to be sued? And what will happen? Because that's where my problem comes, because every now and then, if we are going to waste a lot of money of defending the cases because of our instruction, and the instruction can't be carried because of all these questions, then we have a problem. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
No, for me, there's two things to this. The one is and we need to have national instructions that adhere to this. But the fact that they're actually there, putting these obligations on the police, reflects to me, for me, to another issue. And Jefferson, you've been in that meeting, and Schaefer's been in that meeting, or the boss has been in that meeting, and Mr. Chairman has been in that meeting. That is the absence of facts at the time when legislation is passed by other departments that are going to impact on them. The absence of facts participating in legislation during that process. And the meeting I'm referring to is the human trafficking legislation, where again it has been reported to us that SAP is not taking those issues seriously. That SAP is absent when the national team is meeting, SAP is sending junior officers in terms of training, etc. to this whole thing. The training for the interim arrangement for the non-law case. And it frustrates the heck out of this because we are going to have no choice but to keep SAP accountable according to these names. Because it's not suggestion, it's instruction. And carrying military ranks are instructions for a specific meeting. Now, the fact of the matter is we're going to keep them responsible, like we do with the Domestic Violence Act, because it's on the legislation book. they can't come back to us afterwards and complain that they're not going to be able to implement it. Because at the time when they were supposed to be part of what is happening, they were absolutely not taking it seriously. And somewhere, somehow, Jefferson, we need to discuss this issue on the broader level about such taking responsibility at the time of legislation being developed, not afterwards, and then either not implementing properly or having the problems that you correctly raised, that Mr. Law will correctly raise. He had a problem, but because of the actions that were not able to communicate these problems. So I'm just raising this as a preliminary, don't go there when you ask the question, because the fact of the matter is that process has passed us by, and we should have been part of the process when it was there.
Yes. You can respond to questions.
Okay. Madam Chair, can I start with the last question?
I don't know.
Okay, the remark. I need to make a remark as far as that is concerned. With your permission, Chair. Because it's a rather serious allegation, and I think we need to account to this committee on what we did. The process for the drafting of this legislation started around about
95.
It's more than 10 years ago. It resulted, it emanated from an investigation done by the Law Reform Commission. We were part of that investigation. Once it went to Parliament, we were part of the deliberations. Remember, it didn't come to this committee, it went to justice. We were part of the deliberations from day one. Ma'am, are we happy with everything that's in the legislation? No. There are many things that we would prefer to have different. But eventually, it is the prerogative of Parliament to decide. And once Parliament has decided, we have no choice. And there is nothing in this national instruction which is not an imperative contained in the child justice. So, the purpose of the national instruction is, it says, the law says, you must do A, B, and C. How are you going to do it? This is the way we give you a procedure that you must follow. We put in place the necessary resources and assistance to enable you to follow that process. So it's not by choice. It is because we have to do this, whether we like it or not. And most definitely, there are things in the Child Justice Act that we would have preferred to see different. And the regulations. Madam Chair, the Department of Justice drafted the regulations, provided to us a copy of the draft regulations. We redrafted the portions dealing with the police. They considered our proposal and decided, no, that's not what they want. But it's their prerogative. It's the Department of Justice prerogative. So, we are faced with a situation where we have a legal framework which is not because of our lack of commitment or anything, that has become a fact. And there are specific provisions in this legislation that were specifically amended in the process of the parliamentary process at the request of the people. So, but be that as it may.
Madam Chair, I think I still believe on a legal fact. Even what he says now, we need that we need. Because it's not good for the police to go to a meeting with any department and allow that department to make a law which is not enforceable by them. They have got a right. They've got also a committee. They should come back to a committee and alert the chairperson of the committee and say, we're sitting in that same committee. We see a problem in the law that is being drafted. For instance, there was this thing of smoking.
Yeah.
Sometimes, when the Minister of Health was coming, he came with certain things which were completely not political. Immediately, I remember in the committee, immediately we went to her after being alerted by the police. We said, no. And we forced amendment. But the members of this portfolio committee, if it's law for justice, if they are not alerted by the police, they will not be able, they are not sitting in that committee. So I think what Annelise is saying is still paramount. Because it does not make sense to make laws which are not enforceable.
And this is actually a very regulation.
you know, things that were in that regulation, you know, assess the impact of injury, for instance. We were not aware of the portfolio committee. We could crash the meeting they were attending. We were not informed. And those things were in the regulation. They were not possible to be implemented by any committee. And sometimes I think the issues that Honorable George is saying, they are so important. There is a portfolio committee on police that understands these things better than any other portfolio committee in this parliament. And at what stage are we informed about these things, about that please come and intervene, we have 1, 2, 3, and we are taken through, we go there to say, but this is not implemented, they won't be able. Really? This is, we will be actually overseeing the department on the implementation of this act and these national instructions, the regulations themselves. But I'm sitting here, I'm really thinking about things. And I think that is, the issue analysis is raising that very quickly. What also is very true is that it will not be the portfolio committee that will say the department is not attending. It will be other departments. Yeah. But it will also be the meetings that are taking place in Parliament. The one that was the other week, where the human trafficking legislation was being discussed, and the department was not there physically. Which day is the portfolio committee and the department was not there physically, it wasn't there, but it was reported that they are not attending the meeting. And these things are being processed and they will come before the portfolio committee, and the state will say that really, this is not implementable, understanding the situation. So it's not like it's just an allegation. It's not raised by us. Yesterday, this very legislation, this one, which had the budget for every other department except for the police.
Yeah.
The implementation. Every other department had requested more budget, but the police said no, 000 budget. And it tells you that they were not part of such discussions, and that is why 00 budget. And you have to go there as a member of this portfolio committee. You don't want to say anything because you are so embarrassed. So it's not like it's just an allegation or it's something. It's really, this thing happened here in Parliament, we attend these meetings because they are open to all of us. We go there uninvited, we can crush them, you sign this paper. Really, who of us here can assess the impact of any injury? And it's been like that.
Yeah, I just want to make a point. The same point that Mr. Jules raised, just emphasize, for the past 10 years, while this legislation was in the making, not once did the police come to us and say we've got a problem with what justice is writing in this legislation. It's not going to be, we're not going to be able to implement it. Not once. And I think that is the point that we're making. And we don't want the situation again when we get human trafficking that's been anger to face the situation. And already I can pick up some things that were said about in that meeting. That they are expecting from the police that it's not going to be able to provide. Even for this month that we're looking at the World Cup, that we're not going to be able to provide. Yep.
When the police attend or interact with the on legislation that applies to the legislation, do they actually themselves actually consider and understand the position of the legislation on the ground and what he said? Do they actually understand the challenge that the police have when it was raised that no? All of these sessions I go to in my constituency, in an urban area, Randburg and Johannesburg, I don't find any police station there that tells me that they have a good working relationship with other government departments. They all tell me they don't. They all tell me that they call each and nobody comes. So, just asking whether they actually apply their mind to actual ideal conflict. Instead of flying their minds around a boardroom table, and of what looks nice on paper, but do they actually understand what actually happened in this session? And some of the massive constraints that they have, but also the massive burden that they have in all trying to comply with various things. I'm not saying they're lucky for a time, but I think it's a complexity and at the time of dropping, perhaps we should actually take that.
Madam Chair, yes, we have operational members with us on that, in that process. We consult with them throughout, and I personally serve on the management of a police station. So I have personal background and experience, so I am able to identify the correct people who are in practice now at the police station to assist them. And that's what we did. We had a whole task team that looked at this instruction, and with input from the provinces, from all the different places, practice, people who are in practice every day. So that's what we do. As far as the costing is concerned, Madam Chair, the costing, that's a very good question, and it's a very difficult question to answer. Let me explain.
I like that.
It's a difficult question to answer, because this legislation will cost the police money, but will save the police money. Now, where do you draw the line? Where will it balance out? The fact of the matter is that the only cost to the police service, as far as this legislation is concerned, is the cost regarding the forms, the books that I spoke about, that must be printed. And the cost of that is a recurring cost. In other words, as the one book is completed and finished, you have to get a new book. And so it's a recurring cost. So it is printing. That is the majority of the cost involved for the future. As far as transport is concerned, we are not going to buy a single new vehicle. What we have said in the instruction, and if members look carefully, you will see that we say whenever possible. In other words, if there is a vehicle available, consider that, rather take the child with an unmarked vehicle. If there is no such a vehicle, is there a marked sedan? If there is no marked sedan, is there a police van, and how can we deal with it? The remark made that it is impossible, and this instruction will be continuously.
Mr. Sheldon, can I just read this first to you?
Yes.
If a child is transported in a police vehicle, he or she must, as far as reasonably possible, be transported.
Yeah.
Must.
As far as possible. In other words, but even if possible.
I have my reliable lawyer here.
You know, must means it has to. As far as possible means you don't actually have to. So, how
does
that
fit?
Is that in the
rule,
that
then? Madam Chair, if there is an unmarked police sedan vehicle available, that child must be transported in that vehicle. But if there is no one available, if it is not possible, then the alternative comes in. So as far as the cost is concerned, we are in the process of having the books printed, and we are in the process of having the finances approved, so I cannot give you exact figures. But the costing of the books for a number, and remember it's difficult, we're going to provide one book to a police station. In the smaller police station. In the larger cities, we may have to give more than one book to a police station, so that you don't have to, when the book is finished in a month's time, they must have another one available. Okay. But in small stations, you'll find. So those books will last more than a year. So it's extremely difficult to say exactly what the cost will be as far as the printing is concerned. But of course, we have the initial printing cost. And
with all due respect, we've been sitting around for this year.
the fact of the matter is you place an order, you place an order for a specific number of books. You've got 1,117 police stations. So your first order at least needs to be 1,117 books. You've identified there are stations that you might want to turn to. And also this thing about saving money, costing money, where do we draw the line? It doesn't work that way in finances. You don't count money that you don't have. If it's going to cost you money, it's going to cost you money. What you're saying is something completely different. You need to reflect on what it's going to cost you. And I don't believe that printing is going to cost you. I'm sorry, I don't believe. I believe transporting is a cost. I believe that training the people, if there's a cost involved in that. Surely you need to get people to a point to train them. Surely you need to get a trainer to a point where the people are going to be trained. Surely if it's a two-day thing, we're talking about accommodation. How can we say that there is no, it's difficult to say that? It's the same as the different legislation. It's difficult for us to say how much it's going to cost. We can't continue to deal with the money of the South African citizens in this way. I'm sorry.
Maybe I can shed some light on this. There were two executives of becoming involved with national structure. And we convened two workshops comprising of provincial people as the general speaker and station commissioners and provincial commissioners as part of that team. And we looked at this particular issue of cost. By our calculations, and there's some items that we were not able to get figures from some of the justice departments on, there's sanitary towels being put at the cost, the line item that is being provided in the station. And our initial estimates indicate that this is going to cost more than 35 million rand to implement. We have total for the printing of the booklet of 1.8 million rand. There's figures all over. And we've made this particular presentation to the National Commission, the implementation plan of what it will cost to implement. And these figures were sent through to, if I understand correctly, to the Justice Department, because there was no figure. I was in the same portfolio committee meeting, the Justice Committee, but reflected no. So our figures are very different. We did this exercise in the country, and this is the figure that has come.
Why were they not given to this
gentleman? Based on the information that we see, why is it that we don't have we have at 11, which is the general option. Now that we have that something, we don't have this information. And I think they're putting it out. I think it's what is the information that can you say in the house? And then work that has been handled at 11. Why is it there? So unless people don't know anything. That's why if you don't know anything, to do that the last question is this thing. The one that was not have been the same service, so it's going to be actually that you don't know what to do.
Madam Chair, you're talking about it. Yes, I was part of that multidisciplinary doctor for the Secretariat, and we did not determine the particular cost that the machinist was referring to at those workshops. Obviously, the information that we have at our disposal relates to the printing cost. That's the information that we have available. There's a whole process regarding training going on. But you must understand that training is not specific on the Child Justice Act. The training relating to this legislation also relates to the Children's Act. It relates to domestic violence, because all these pieces of legislation are interdependent on one another. So the training, for instance, there's a whole week training program on domestic violence. The idea is to adapt that training to be training not only on the Domestic Violence Act, but to be domestic violence, child justice, and children's act. So we already were in the process of incurring costs for the training, so now, you understand, it becomes difficult to differentiate this amount is for the child justice act, and this amount is for that. That's why I say the only real figures we have are the printing figures. That's the only real figures that we have. I said there will be savings, and I take for granted that that's available. Okay.
Yeah,
the
commissioner
held
it.
Well,
well,
I think what will be the cost of printing? What will be the cost of printing?
No,
you're not referring back to that point that I was saying earlier, but the problem is that the things are not informed about this document with regard to the cost. No, so, but what will be the cost? And how do you determine the cost of printing, whatever, out of the country?
I would say the print, the books that we are talking about, the books that you will utilize, in other words, you write on the first page, you press it through on the second and the third page. The printing of those books, the cost involved in the printing of those books are 1.8 million. The exact figure, 1.8 million.
So where do you get that figure? Where is it budgeted?
The program? It's the program administration, supply chain management. We have a range of forms that we utilize in the police service. This is simply one that is added to the range. Okay? Right. Chairperson, the question was asked by Honorable Convey that how are we going to ensure adherence? Parents share it is difficult. I know that there were instances in the past where the domestic violence were not properly complied with. There's no question about it. Madam Chair, I must say that my common sense tells me there will be instances where this national instruction will not be complied with because we are working with human beings. But we have a disciplinary system, we have our management system, we have this instruction. People can be held accountable. We have an inspectorate, we have national evaluation services, provincial evaluation services, we have all these resources at our disposal, and we have actually initialized them. In other words, told them they must take responsibility as soon as possible to get to every police station to understand and make sure that these documents are there. The reason why these documents must be there is so that members, if they have any question, can check the instruction in front of them and read and see what is expected of them. So that is the process. That's how we will ensure adherence. And then the whole question about designated probation officers, yes, of course. There are not an insufficient number of designated probation officers. But I explained in the beginning, we reached agreement with the Department of Justice. It's in the Department of Justice regulation. There is not only a designated probation officer that can perform the function. And any social worker is a probation officer per definition. So any social worker there, yes, of course, there will be the few police stations in a vastly rural area where there is perhaps no single social worker in that whole police station area. But that's the reason why that station commander must determine what's the position in my station area. Then liaise with the provincial commissioner, the cluster commander, see what assistance they can get from other areas. So it is not something that we can determine at the national level. It must be solved at the local level, taking into account the circumstances of people at that.
Isn't that event maybe the social worker has to travel 70 kilometers,
yes,
to who incurs costs?
Department of Social Development, in the case of a Department of Social Development social worker, in the case of an NGO social worker, they are also subsidized from the Department of Social Development, and in those instances where they are not subsidized and they tell us, well, we don't have money to come to your police station, then the station commissioner must take steps to ensure that the child can be transported to the social worker. It's not whether we want. It may, yes, if the child is transported, it will be cost. But we cannot tell you how much that will be for the police service in one financial year.
No, it's okay.
The next question related to the arrest of a child below the age of 10, and how are we the implementation of this, the situation where a child below the age of 10 commits a serious crime. Now, I think one must start off by saying, a child below the age of 10 cannot commit any crime, because he's not legally capable of committing a crime. But he may perform things which would have amounted to crimes had the child been older. So now, the child below the age of 10 cannot be arrested. But we have explained that the instruction very clearly states that you're not going to leave the child. That's not the point. What you are going to do is, now you move from the child justice environment to the Children's Act environment, on how to deal with children that are not legally, that have the legal capacity, the criminal capacity to commit crime. Then we can take them into that social system where they can be placed in a place of temporary safe care, eventually child and youth care center, and etc. And there is a range of stuff what will eventually happen to the child in that process. But
so
that is determined by social development.
Can I just ask you, how do you determine the age of a child? If I'm a free child, no ID, not registered anywhere, I'm going to lie to my teeth and tell you I'm 8. Meanwhile, I'm 12 and I've done X, Y, and Z. And who does this to determine the age of a child?
We anticipated that situation. It will often arise.
Yeah.
Therefore, we told our members that the first member on the scene must evaluate the situation. Look at the child. If there's somebody available to tell him what the age of the child is, or information that he may receive from the child may show him a school book, whatever, then the member must act in accordance with that. If nothing is available, it's a street child, you have no idea what the age of the child is, that member must use his own personal judgment and decide, well, I don't know how old the child is, but to my mind, that child is unlikely to be less than 10 years. Or, no, I think he's at least 10 years. And he must then make a decision. And then immediately when the assessment kicks in of the social worker will then take that process further. So, we must enable the member to act at the scene of the crime without that information, if it is not available. If it is available, fantastic, then you act in accordance with that. And then the it was I'm very sorry. The pointing out, man, there was one serious mistake with the question. You spoke about a child coming to make a pointing out. This national instruction deals with a child who's committed an offense, who's on the lineup. Yes. Okay. And then as far as detective vehicles are concerned, where they are available, I think I've explained that. If it's not available, then we explain what the alternatives are that must be followed. The question is, have we trained all police station members? The answer is no, we have not yet. It's impossible to have trained them by now. We are in the process of training them, yes. And eventually, all of them will be trained. It will become, it's part of now of the basic training, and it will become part of the in-service training. So that process is ongoing, and we have already trained the trainers to present that. So it's
time
not...
Time frame?
Madam Chair, I don't have the figures with me. When they will complete it. But it, you see, remember, it's done in a decentralized way. So every province takes responsibility for the training in that province. We at national level train the people that will train the trainers in the province. So from the province, they send people, get trained, they come back, they train other trainers in the province. And that's the way.
You remain accountable.
Yes.
And you can't delegate your accountability.
No.
Not even to the provinces.
No.
So on this one, I mean, the law is in operation.
Yes.
And these must be in operation.
Yes.
And as the portfolio committee responsible for overseeing the department, will be going down there to check if these things are being implemented.
Yes.
And you can't say, not now, not tomorrow, not any day. Say, not because I think they are not done. It is in your interest
yep.
to know
each province as to when it will be done with, I mean, on the issues of training.
Madam Chair.
So it is, you can say the provinces will know the time frame. You should know the time frame because you have the responsibility to oversee as a manager.
Yes, Madam Chair, yes, that's correct. The whole process of training is governed by a computerized system. They must report to us when the training will take place. They must give us afterwards the attendance list. In other words, we know who every single member that attended. In the past, this portfolio committee has visited many police stations where members have said, we have not been trained. But now we can check the time frame. Madam Chair, I don't have to find them.
I can't be just asking. Maybe I've got a lot of answers to some of the questions that we posed to the general. The training division gave us dates by when the training should be completed for the 2-day training course. They indicated that they trained 8,546 members. These are CSC personnel, including members responsible for police cells, detention, sector commanders, detectives, and so forth. Their training was going to be completed for those students by end of June. The 5-day training was more extensive training, and they needed to do proper planning for it, so that more members of the detectives in particular, the FCE people and the visible police unit members, they gave figures of 1,116 members of detectives and visible policing members in a council of 2,408 members that they want to train. That they indicated to be a longer term exercise, and that is proceed as they're preparing or completing the other training through the preparation. They were not able to give us specific dates for the 5-day training. But the 1-day training and orientation, that is already completed as far as we understand. It's gone through all the provinces. The bulk of this budget is for training. 80% of this budget is around training costs.
It's actually costs.
It's a lot of costs.
You know why we want time for? Just because we are an overseeing factor. When we go to police stations, we must be able to say, we expect all of you to have been trained by now. Have you been trained? And that is what we're supposed to do. But if we don't know as to when it's going to take 2 years, so that means we are going to tell you as to how long should it take. It's yourself who should tell us that it's 2 years, it's 3 years, it's 1 year, it's 6 months. So that when we go there, we say, but it's 3 months now and nothing has happened. I think that's what we want to know. We can't have an open-ended training which can take 50 years or cannot take this at all.
But madam, you know, one thing that's worrying me, I think, presentation by Commissioner Khaled. According to this gentleman, he was in a meeting with us. And he looked at some of the questions that were raised, which Commissioner Khaled does not know. Where discussed that meeting? I don't know what happened.
I'm
just learning a selective learner. I'm sorry, I wanted to come to this point. It's really worrying me. And the issue that worries me is the mind. Right. Yeah, but at 11, we are missing it. Because really, what is happening in the information that we are giving from the gentleman is different from what we are talking about. So I think without really wasting parliament time, either you may not consider the conference of parliament and some parliament in time. If we're dealing with the 11, that's the level that we understand that you give us all this information that continues to work. And you come here before Parliament, you are not able to share that information. The very first thing is the And therefore, that's why earlier Chairman was speaking of things that either would have to escalate this thing to the general meeting. That should be the one who must come in front of you. If you at the 11, are unable to share with the family. Rather than information, basic information that we have asked, then there's a problem. There's a problem because either you're not serious about your job, first of all. Secondly, I mean, it may be that either you just don't care. You know? And I think it's a concern that either the teachers for the committee will have engaged with you and you have developed this attitude and tendency that you'll just come and say things in parliament and go out and fight. I think it's a different element because I can see commitment from all these members and the manner in which they are asking you questions. Not because we're interrogating you. We want to understand sort of by the time we go out exercise work, we are very much understanding exactly these are the problems. You cannot say that there's training without time frame development. You cannot say that there's training that you don't even know when it started, when it is going to end. You cannot say that there's training if you have over 190,000 members on the ground and you're saying to me that you don't know when this all members are going to be trained. Because this does not only need 2 or 20 people, it needs all your forces in fact to be trained. So therefore I think there's a problem of attitude with regards to how we teach parliamentarians. You know, and I would not want to be in a meeting where officials, in fact, the general at 11, are really wanting to sit parliament like one of these committees that you go to. It then tells you again that even these meetings that you attend today, you do the same thing. You know, and that's where the police begin to say the line of command of the police is the most weakest thing. They always throw things to the provinces, and the provinces are doing the same. It's exactly what you have just said. So I think that, you know, it's something that you can take quite dangerous. Unless if you are able to do that, I think you just have to leave it. You don't have to appear before this committee, get someone. But by appearing, but not appearing before this committee means that others just have to leave their job. Go and do something else, and take someone. And the clearly here is about where it is about what is it that you want to do to change the society for the better. So that's my general, you know, observation of the whole thing. And I really want to appeal that. Would you think this is quite dangerous?
Okay. Madam Chair, just quickly, this portfolio meeting, the idea was that we will be present and that Mr. Kinnis, who was the leader of the task team, will be present to answer any questions. My responsibility relates to the national instruction. That's my responsibility. And that was the idea that the rest of the information Mr. Kinnis will have available. And that's why we arranged that he will be present. So that's just for that. Madam Chair, I don't know whether it's necessary to say anything more. I mean, some of the questions we haven't touched upon, but I apologize for not having
it. No, thank you, Mr. Kelly. Thank you for briefing the portfolio committee on the national discussion. At least we know their content and what they entail. Surely you heard members give questions to ask and some concerns on first on the implementability of this national discussion. And actually they go to the ethics on whether the police will be able to implement the ethics, but of course the ethics there and we expect it implemented through the police. I think I have a little bit of a problem, Mr. Sheldon, when at a level you seem not to be sure as to how you are going to ensure at end. Really. You know, we politicians, we can say anything, but you are managers. Really? Managers are expected to manage, and managers are expected to hold their subordinates accountable, so that whatever instructions or anything is implemented from A to Z, it's useless to have this document, or any other document for that matter, if implementation will not be enforced, if it will not be implemented. And managers are paid for managing, at the least. They are paid for ensuring that things are administered, at least. Doesn't matter whether thereafter they are able to manage the administration, but at least they are administered, at the least. I really find it very difficult when a manager is not sure as to how he's going to ensure that these things are implemented. There are systems, there are people, but in the human beings, they must be implemented, it's the law. The police must implement these things there, and the law is not, they're breaching the law. And they're breaching quite a number of other laws for them. Then you can actually say, when you visit it, that they are practicing outside the legal framework of the country.
they themselves are breaching the law, but they are not arrested. When I breach the law outside and I am a member of the community, I am arrested. That becomes a problem. And it is the first institution that must implement the law to the letter. This question for me is very fundamental. And that is why we are asking all these questions. And lastly, before I close this meeting, again I'm saying, for any legislation that will be placed before the portfolio committee, national instructions or whatever, we will always want or ask for an implementation plan. So don't come before the portfolio committee unless you know exactly how you are going to implement that legislation or anything related to a legislation. Don't. Plan, tell us that this is how we're going to implement it. So that when we go to the police station, we know exactly that, no, for now we are not expecting them to be doing this. Because according to their plan, they will only be doing A and not B and not C and not D. So that we are able to play our oversight role informed by what you think you can do, not what we think you should be doing, because it doesn't affect us. So it will, let me say it again because I said it in the past, we will not be expecting you to appear before the portfolio committee on anything related to any legislation without an implementation plan, clear, costed in terms of human resources, finance resources, material resources, or even IT, so that we know exactly that what is it that we must expect at the portfolio committee. We don't want to be just overseeing plans before. We want to know exactly what you'll be able to do. This is my request, but thank you very much for briefing us on this, and we appreciate the fact that it is you now have the national instructions. We remain the portfolio committee with the interest of the department at heart. On anything where you experience frustration, with any portfolio committees, whatever, we are here for police. It's not like that we are just talking to you and holding you accountable. We have the interest of the police at heart at the portfolio committee. And you shouldn't hesitate to phone us to say there is 1, 2, 3, and we think they are not seeing it from our side. And we've been saying that we will go there, we are in quite portfolio committee as any other portfolio committee, and we can raise issues related to police so much better than any other portfolio committee. Thank you very much, and the meeting is closed.
You know, Doc, I have known you for some time. I've never known you to be dodging questions like this. But the first time I've known you was a long time. For instance, I asked you a question.